This time on episode 303 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be talking Cloak & Dagger, Season 1, Episode 1, First Light, and Episode 2, Suicide Sprints, and the weekly Marvel news.
I'm Josh Liston from On The Bubble Podcast, an oral history of television fandom, part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome, geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SB.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, October 6th, 2019, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast New Orleans-wide via www.geeks.live. Come on and join our live chat as we record. Say hello, and we will respond to you live. Happy National Orange Wine Day, ladies.
Okay. I'm not going to celebrate this one.
It's a thing.
Yeah. Do not want.
Sure. Whatever.
Orange wine is not actually made of oranges. It's made from white grapes.
Who loves orange wine? Kel loves orange wine.
Okay. So, yeah, the real house wine was founded in last year. So this is the first year of it.
So it's a completely fake holiday.
Pretty slim pickings on the holiday list this week, I guess.
Well, I thought this was interesting because I hadn't heard of orange wine before, but apparently it was made 6,000 years ago in Eastern Europe. So I guess I'm a little behind the times.
Of course you are.
I was expecting more of a witty remark from Haley on that, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, is this what you had when you were a kid at your high school parties, I guess?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's get on with the show because this is a dead one. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the multiple Marvel small screen series like Cloak & Dagger, and the Marvel cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of texting through church.
If you'd like to talk to us about all the texts you send in church, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you use your phone to make phone calls, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You don't use your phone to make phone calls. You could visit our Facebook page instead, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can watch us on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And you can join our Discord server chat at GunnaGeek.com/Discord.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Lauren is unable to be with us today, but she wanted to say hello to everybody. So I am saying hello for Lauren. And you can go and catch her on Twitter at Sithwitch and say hello to her back. Meantime, we're going to get on with Cloak and Dagger. Cloak and Dagger aired first on Freeform June 7th, 2018, so we're just over a year behind on it. And the first episode was First Light. Haley, who was the creative team behind this episode?
Well, the director was Gina Prince-Bythewood. She has 17 directing credits starting in 1991. Those credits include one episode of The Bernie Mac Show, two of Girlfriends, The Secret Life of Bees, which is a movie, two episodes of Shots Fired, and this episode of Cloak and Dagger. And it was written by Joe Pokaski, who has 8 writing credits starting in 2006. Those credits include 8 episodes of Heroes, 2 of Daredevil, 16 of Underground, and 7 episodes of Cloak and Dagger.
Michelle, we're going to be covering 2 episodes of Cloak and Dagger every week, so we'll go on to the next episode, which was titled Suicide Sprints, and who was the creative team behind this one?
Well, this episode was also written by Joe Pedaski. It was directed by Alex Garcia Lopez, has 17 directing credits starting 2008. including Three Misfits, Three Utopia, Three Residue, one episode of Fear the Walking Dead, one Luke Cage, two Cloak and Dagger, two Daredevil, one of the Punisher, one Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and two series I think I'm eager to see, two episodes of The Witcher and two of Cowboy Bebop.
What is Cowboy Bebop?
I don't know, but you've offended people.
I'm sorry. I know not everyone has heard of everything. I am so sorry to people. I'm sorry. I really am. I'm very sorry. Not everyone has been exposed to anime or have watched one of the most classic anime series ever. Watch it dubbed, because the English speaking American cast is actually does a really good job. But yeah, there's going to be a live action adaptation of Cowboy Bebop. And The Witcher is based off of supposed to be based more off the books than the video game series. But yeah, okay, there we go.
All right, we have a lot of great experience behind the creative team for both episodes, which is fantastic. By the way, Cloak and Dagger is based on the Marvel comics by Bill Mantlo and Ed Hannigan. So we're going to jump right on into the themes for the episode. We go with the themes with the titles for the episode, and then we extrapolate what those episodes are about. So, Haley, what is First Light about?
Well, I mean, we see the glowy lights for the first time in this episode. And the real first light is the plant thingy exploding. Exploding good.
Plant thingy?
Yeah, whatever. I wasn't real clear on what that thing was supposed to be. Some sort of power plant or something, I think.
Looked like an oil rig to me.
Yeah, but that's not what it really was. Like, we know that.
Okay. We'll find out soon enough. And I can see Michelle here like, oh, I know what it is. And
spoilers.
Yeah. We have not, full disclosure, Haley and I have not seen Cloak and Dagger. We watched the first two episodes for this podcast. Michelle is doing a rewatch, and so she knows and we don't, and we are preferring it that way to keep as spoiler free as we can get, basically. So that is what you're going to get with this rewatch. Okay, suicide sprints. What's that all about?
Running. Anybody that's ever played any sport in a gym knows exactly what a suicide is. And I think field sports use it too. They just put down cones instead of using the lines on the court. But yeah, it's one of the terrible things that your high school coaches tortured you with. And if you went on beyond that, your college coaches.
Haley, have you ever seen the movie Miracle?
No.
Okay. Well, I have to apologize because not everybody has seen everything. And okay, not everybody is going to see the greatest sports movie ever.
Rudy?
Yeah, I'm with Michelle on this
one. I will argue that Miracle is more of a sports movie than Rudy is.
It's okay. You're allowed to be wrong.
Same. I think Miracle is better than both of them, but three really good movies. I have nothing against Rudy or Hoosiers. I just think Miracle is the best sports movie ever.
Remember the Titans?
Also, I think that is below all three movies, but okay. But
no, the real best one is A League of Their Own.
Okay, that's top four. Mm-hmm. Miracle still is number one. Anyway, what Miracle was is a movie about the 1980 Olympic hockey team, the USA Olympic hockey team that went against the professional Soviet team, and there was a bunch of college kids, whatever. But since you have not seen it, you don't know what scene I'm talking about. Michelle, have you seen Miracle?
Yes, and I actually know what sporting event that was, because I am, oh my goodness, I'm old enough to remember.
I watched it live. Yep. I remember I watched one of the games at my grandparents' house, and we were all huddled around like this 19-inch TV, and it was a good time, actually. We didn't know we were going to win, and we won. Anyway, there was a scene in that movie where the coach, which was Herb Brooks, was played by Kurt Russell, and he was sending the skaters back and forth, basically in suicides, again and again and again. So if you haven't seen Miracle, go watch it just for the suicide skating portion of it. Anyway, Michelle, I don't think Haley gave you anything to correct this time.
No.
Wow. Haley, you're losing your game.
No, sometimes I'm good at this, and sometimes I'm a brat.
Okay. We don't know which Haley is going to show up. All right. Michelle, the series starts 8 years ago.
Yes. We get to meet little Tandy, who is a ballerina, and she is waiting to get picked up. She's waiting, and she has to actually call her father to get pick her up, and actually stays out in the rain. It's like, is there not like somebody there to where she could go or something?
At least go back into the door frame, you know, and stay out of the rain there.
Well, I'm surprised like the kids don't have to wait inside until their parents get there to pick them up.
I would think in any major city that would be a for sure this has to happen thing.
Yeah, and this didn't happen 40 years ago. This happened 8 years ago. That was 2011.
Yeah, my kids were older at that point in time. So yeah, I had already been through this not only as a kid, but as a parent by then. She's standing out in the rain. She is enjoying playing the rain. She is not as soaked as I would think when she gets picked up, but she jumps in her dad's car anyway. But simultaneously, there's something else going on too.
We meet young Tyrone and his older brother, Billy. Tyrone it's a little brother, big brother situation. Little brother's looking up to big brother, wants to be like him. Unfortunately, Billy is in criminal life.
I more get the sense that he's hanging around with guys that are doing that and getting into trouble than he's actually done a whole lot of things himself at this point.
That's what it is, too. It's like it's one of those, like, they want to pressure him into getting fully into life. And there's that issue with the car stereo. And then Tyrone actually goes in and steals it. And then it gets the attention of the cops. And then they run. And then Billy gets shot and goes into the water, and Tyrone jumps after. And then the rig, that's all I'm going to call it, is the rig, explodes. It's like two waves. There's the initial beginning explosion, which we see when Tandy and her father are driving. And then because they go off of the bridge and into the water, then we see that main explosion where it's the huge light that comes off of the rig and it hits both the kids.
Again, another major Marvel origin story starts with distracted driving.
Keep your eyes on the roads, kids. Put the phone down.
And there will be death involved, apparently, or major pain or something like that, which is true to life. So, yes, we advocate do not drive distracted. We have this origin story, which really goes over the course of these two episodes. Did these two episodes air as a 2-hour pilot?
No. Oh, I think I forgot to put the date of the other one. I believe they aired one a week.
Okay. So I was getting a little lost. First of all, I don't think we hear Tandy's name in the first episode. I think we have to wait till the second episode to get Tandy's name. And Tyrone's name is at the end of the first episode.
I think it is in the first episode. She says it's Tandy after her dad's computer.
Well, I thought that was in the second episode. So that was in the first episode?
Maybe. Possible. I don't know. I just watched them both back to back, so I don't remember.
Right. I just remember, like, who are these people? Because I've never seen this before. And Michelle is coming at it from the standpoint of she's watched a couple of seasons, so she knows what's going on here. But I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who the characters are. I mean, I know Cloak and Dagger, but I'm not steeped in the comics, so I went into this blind, and I had a tough time figuring out who was who.
So I remember when people were first watching this almost a little over a year ago now, people complained about the pacing of the show, and they weren't crazy about the first couple of episodes.
I would agree with that, because I'm so glad we watched both episodes, because I would have been really frustrated had we just seen one episode here.
Yeah, I understand. It is that first episode because it's the party, and the party is when they touch.
Mm-hmm.
Tandy has a unique set of skills, which is conning and taking wallets that don't belong to her.
So basically Haley's chosen career.
Excuse you. I have other skills.
Oh yeah, dictator.
Yeah, she's our benevolent overlord.
I hire people to pick pockets.
Overlord now, not just dictator. Okay.
Benevolent.
All right. If I would have named my first kid or a kid after my first computer, they would have been named Commodore.
Same here. And if it was after my first game system, it would be Atari.
Mm-hmm.
Atari would be a good name for a girl.
I think we had Atari before we had the Commodore, I'm pretty sure.
Mine would have been Super Nintendo.
I don't know any Tandys in real life. Do you ladies know any Tandys?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, not currently.
Unique name. The two episodes are this big, long origin story, which we're not quite sure how both of their powers work yet. We're still working through that, and they are still working through that as well, which leads to a couple of awkward situations in the two episodes. You have Tandy, who stabs a guy, and she doesn't know she's doing it. And you have Tyrone, who gets beat up, and he's trying to go back and forth. He gets shot at, too, and he miraculously survives.
He ran into her knife.
One could argue he deserved it.
He had it coming.
Yeah.
He only had himself to blame.
Thank you, Michelle.
I'm not going to argue with that. That is the way it was presented, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm guessing you haven't seen Chicago?
No.
Okay. It's just really funny with Haley and I. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, on with Cloak and Dagger. Yeah.
Okay. Your brief Chicago interlude was brought to you by Haley and Michelle. Anyway, they're figuring out their powers. They still don't have a good handle on them. They realize that they have powers, but they haven't shared it with anybody, including each other yet.
Well, to be fair, they don't know each other at all.
And we find out in the course of, I believe it's the second episode, that Tandy woke up on the beach from the lake. I thought it was the ocean. It was the lake. Anyway, she woke up on the beach next to Tyrone, and they're holding hands as kids. But then she leaves before Tyrone wakes up. So he had no idea. He thought he woke up on that beach alone.
Well, he knew there was somebody there because he found the shoe. And she kept the hoodie. He kept the shoe.
Cinderella. Maybe. No? Okay.
Possibly.
If the shoe
fits. I don't
fits,
know if it'll still fit.
Yeah, I was going to like, I don't know. I found it interesting following Tyrone in the two episodes. I also found it interesting following Tandy, but let's stick with Tyrone to begin with. So Tyrone is at a point where, first of all, as a little kid, I don't know how old he was, say, I don't know, seven, the kid jacks a car stereo. That's impressive without any other tools than a hanger.
Maybe they did a crappy job installing it, which is why the guy didn't want to pay them.
I could see that now. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, he figures that out by himself. And so he's resourceful. And then the next time you see him is 11 years down the road. He's lost his brother and his family has kind of recovered. I get the sense that his mom is involved in something with Roxxon as well.
Maybe, but not directly. She's doing some sort of like local outreach for politics things, like helping people get elected. So maybe in like a fundraising sense. But I don't know that she would be working directly with them.
Or a PR firm or something like that. So anyway, she also has a gun, a very big gun, I might add, and apparently uses it to get rid of rodents, which is illegal in the city that I live in, but I don't know where they
live. This is in Louisiana, though.
Fair enough. And you have Tyrone, who's a basketball player. And I got two things to say about that. First of all, he is on the basketball floor and he's getting beat up by another player. And I wasn't quite sure how to take, was that supposed to be a racial statement or was that just he's getting beat up?
I didn't think that was well executed because the referee that was seeing it was also black. So okay. I don't know what they were trying to say there, but those were some pretty blatant fouls.
Right. And some officiating in high school sports doesn't go entirely great either. So, okay, I'll leave that one lie then. And then the next thing, though, is his teammates, basically, they beat him up. And just because they had to run suicide sprints and that they might have lost a game, I don't think that's the best motivation on a teammate.
Well, Tyrone punches that kid, basically embarrasses the entire team. And it's not just a few suicides. I believe it's 100 or almost 100 because it was the amount because he hit the kid. It was the amount. It's like 25 for him hitting the kid, 50 for him not being there, and then another 20 or 25 when he shows up.
And then the coach tells him to watch from the bleachers, which I don't know. I was thinking about that. I could have gone and got my gear and then started running, but the coach would have started yelling at me and telling me get up the bleachers anyway. I think he did the only move that he could at that point, which was to, after practice, get his gear and run the suicides on his own to show solidarity. But nobody saw him other than the priest.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was right after practice either. Like, because it was real late, but I don't know, maybe it took him a while to run.
And I have no idea how much his interaction with the team follows mm-hmm. the rest of the series at this point. But
speaking of the priest, was it not strange that he was getting dressed in front of Tyrone? Did that not strike anybody else as a little inappropriate?
It completely struck me as inappropriate, and I didn't know if that was a statement or not.
I wondered if they were going to take that somewhere. Like, we've had a lot of scandals with priests and child abuse and child sexual abuse, and I wondered what they were doing with that.
Also, apparently he can prescribe medication?
Yeah. Well, and then I, again, seeing that in the same scene where he's getting changed in front of this underage student, I was like, is he just giving him pills and saying that he's prescribing them?
And later we see him in the convenience store and he's waiting in line just to get some alcohol.
Yes.
And he's trying to hide it.
Well, I mean, that part makes sense to me because it's like, you know, he's seen as like this figure in the community. So when he's waiting in line with presumably somebody he knows in front of him, he's carrying a loaf of bread. And then when he gets up to the counter, he, you know, gets the alcohol.
I'm sure we'll see more of the priests in the future. And I look forward to seeing where they take it, because right now it's just a big, I don't know what's going on. Other than that, Tyrone happens to be a kid in a Catholic school, because it is Catholic, right? I'm not imagining that.
No, that was a Catholic school. I think it's St. something school.
It was something prep.
But doesn't Tyrone seem much younger than Tandy?
I think Tandy is supposed to have an older like edge because she's grown up with an alcoholic mom who pops pills, and she's decided to leave home and live in an abandoned church and have the life that she has.
Tandy's story was interesting as well. Now, her dad obviously was some
sort of engineer or scientist for Roxxon.
And he was staunchly against whatever they were doing. It ended up happening, exploding. He ended up dying in the event, probably because of his bad driving. And then they blamed him for everything as a scapegoat.
Oh, yeah. Not there to defend himself. Real quick, Roxxon was mentioned in the Netflix series, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, and at this point, when this show first started in 2018, the partnership between Marvel and Netflix was still going strong?
Yes.
Okay, so this was all supposed to be tied together at the time.
Yeah, it was supposed to be some loose threads.
Okay.
There are other references. Cloak and Dagger does make other references to the Netflix shows.
Well, we'll see as they come along. We do see Tyrone on the roof of a building with a Roxxon sign. I don't know if it is the Roxxon building, but it is a building with a Roxxon sign on top of it when he first transports. And he's sleeping naked, but he gets to take his sheet with him.
Not naked. He was in his underwear.
Oh, he did have his underwear? Good.
Yep.
I thought he dropped everything and dropped into bed. All right, let's go back to Tandy, because there's a lot to talk about there. She grew up after her dad died, and at some point in time, I have to think that she dropped out of school, because she's not going to school currently. And she starts to live in an abandoned church and is teamed up with Liam, who she doesn't feel the same, or maybe she does and she just doesn't want to admit it, the way Liam feels about her. And she gets herself into trouble at the aforementioned stabbing of the guy that she robbed previously. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens there. We get to see her and Liam in action at the wedding, which was interesting. Her receiving some counseling from this person that she's robbing. Yeah, there's Haley, what do you want to start there?
I do not think Liam's character was well served by the first episode, because I thought he was coming across as kind of the D-bag boyfriend in that episode. And then in the second episode, it's like, oh no, he's actually a really great guy. Well, I mean, still a criminal, but like, he really cares about her. He really wants to help take care of her.
I thought he was holding out on her because when they go to sell the stuff, he gives all sorts of excuses. The diamonds were etched. You can get new barcodes on the ballet tickets later, which is all true. And she is just not thinking in those terms. So, but I thought they were setting it up that she was being stiffed and he was actually taking more of a cut. It turns out that he probably gave her more than he took.
I don't get why she was keeping her stash of like money and stuff in her mom's place instead of at the church.
Anybody could get into that church.
But her mom could get into that vent.
She thought it was well hidden. And because her mom was such the substance abuser, I would think that she wouldn't be looking up in events, but apparently she did.
Yeah, it took everything.
Everything.
Which led to the wedding crashing. And Tandy gives us a lesson on how to work a wedding reception and where all the money is.
It's a little odd that the maid of honor would have all the money, but they sussed that out. And I think they did that for plot reasons so that she could get the psychiatric advice from the maid of honor in the bathroom and stuff. So
that doesn't make sense, though, because if it's the tips for all of the people, then everyone's like, oh, I want to tip that waiter. Let me go find the maid of honor.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's what I was pointing out. So I think it was just because of plot to have that connection. And maybe it comes up in the future, that relationship, maybe. Because she clearly can ID, the maid of honor can clearly ID her. And she is trying to leave town. She's got her $11,000 new ID to go to Minnesota, I believe. But she's leaving town in the just married car, not the best stealthy.
Yeah, I was assuming they would dump that car as soon as they got out of the wedding venue. But, you know, kids.
We do see the car dumped because she avoids Tyrone and crashes it.
It's not dumped, it's crashed.
As you do with any wedding convertible. Apparently, at that point, I wanted to go into the third episode, but I'm like, what? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait for next week. It was a long time to get to that point at the end of the second episode. But once we were there, I'm like, I want to see what happens here. Because Tyrone, he's got the whole thing. The reason why he's going back and forth for the most part is he's going after the cop that shot his brother, Billy. And now the cop knows that he's coming after him, and it's this whole, and there's a cop cover up because the chief of police, I'm just going to call him the chief of police because he had 4 stars or whatever on his shoulder. He said, I worked here for 20 years and I don't know anybody like that. Sorry, you would know somebody on Vice, but okay.
Well, remember, he was calling his uncle to help straighten it out. So I assume the chief was his uncle. No,
I was assuming that too, Michelle. So
I'll clear out. Okay, I know. I want to avoid spoilers, but because this is a plot thing, his uncle is not the chief. It's not a big spoiler or anything, but I do want to help you out in there. His uncle is somebody else.
Okay, well then his uncle was somebody that called the chief and told him, you don't know this guy. Would be my thought. Like, the chief is in on this, whatever this cover up is.
And then you get some flashback. I'm a little uncertain. How do the flashbacks work? Because there's a whole bunch of either insights into people or flashbacks or both going on.
It's some sort of power. And also it was looked like a flash forward as well to her and Liam at a different wedding.
I wasn't sure if that was back in time or a flash forward.
Or maybe it's a dream, because we saw the dream with his mom. Like, it's what he wants.
Did his mom seem like she had actually participated, or was she just drained from the experience?
She was drained from the experience, and I don't know if I want it. Okay, it's like this. If you guys don't understand what they're doing and it's like confusing you, just let me know, because I know exactly what's going on with that.
We'll figure it out eventually. Okay. It's just Haley and I are just talking about it. Like, what is going on?
We're theorizing at this point.
Yeah. So first of all, the powers don't manifest until they actually touch each other again in the cemetery. That's the first time they touch each other in like hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, but again, talking about the powers, I remember, again, audience complaints at the time, not understanding what their powers were supposed to be in the first few episodes.
And they clearly don't understand what's going on. And I... in the lake, I was confused about which power was reaching out to whom, or if it was together that was reaching out, or whatever. So they start manifesting their powers in the cemetery. And after that, they're trying to figure it out. So I'll hand it to the kids. They're handling this a lot better than normal people would, I would think. And they get to the point where they are back together again somehow. And I'm not quite sure how his transporting power is working, but it transports him to where she is. So obviously he goes to where he's needed or trying to get away or something like that. I guess always carry a cape if you're him, just in case. Michelle, by the way, if you're just listening to the audio version of the podcast, Michelle is wanting to say a lot more than she is letting herself say. So aside from all the speculation that we've been saying, Michelle, is there anything else about these two episodes that you do want to talk about?
I'm trying to figure out how not to spoiler anything. There's a reason why I suggested two episodes a week for these. Mm-hmm. It will go better, like when you can, because you're right. That is one of the complaints about the first season is the pacing.
Which is a complaint we had for the first and second season of The Runaways.
We've had several listeners that are involved in Cloak and Dagger and really enjoy Cloak and Dagger. So I want to hear from our listeners that have watched Cloak and Dagger or are watching it for the first time on what you think about the series. Please let us know. You can drop a line to me personally at StargatePioneer@GettingGeek.com. You can drop a line in our Discord server channel, the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. channel over there. Or you can catch us on our Twitter account. We would really like to hear what you have to say about Cloak and Dagger, because we're kind of all over the map. And I know Lauren is going to be all over the map too, but at least she gets the benefit of having at least four episodes before she gets to say anything about it. Haley, is there anything else about these two episodes that you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we've touched on most of the big stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be specific actors that we want to talk about in the future. There's going to be specific plot points, but I have to say I enjoyed the two episodes. It did go a little bit longer than what I was hoping for after coming off The Runaways, but looking forward to see where it goes. So looking forward to that. Haley, you weren't around last week when we talked about the season finale of Runaways.
And I still haven't seen it.
Okay. Fair. So we'll expect to hear your results sooner or later. And season 3 does come out on December 13th of 2019, just in a couple of months. And we're looking forward to picking that up as well. So next Sunday, we'll talk about Cloak and Dagger, Season 1, Episode 3, Stained Glass, and Season 1, Episode 4, Call/Response. And we look forward to finding more about what's going on with these two kids in the future. In the meantime, there is one important news story that we want to cover this week. Like last week, I said we'll probably cover it again next week, and I was right. More information came out about the Spider-Man deal. So in a HollywoodReporter.com article, which was titled "Tom Holland's Last Minute Appeal Helped Seal a Spider-Man Deal." So the article reads one way, but I just want to point out what Tom was probably saying behind the scenes. It was either, hey guys, either you make a deal and I'm out, or
come on, guys, get together. I don't want to be alone. All right, just so we're clear, I've been saying since all this started, like, everyone's like, oh, it's over, it's done, it's dead. I was like, they're going to get back together. I know they broke up. I know they say they're through with each other, but just watch that Facebook relationship status. The heart's going to go back together, and they're going to make a bunch of money together again.
For at least two films.
They just can't quit each other.
Haley, do you think it'll last beyond the two films?
I don't know how much more mileage Disney really needs out of the Spider-Man character beyond that.
So we were saying last week that this is a nice way to tie up his involvement, Tom Holland's involvement in the MCU, and then they can move on without him. Because we were saying last week, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet, you know, Michelle was saying you have Shuri, I was saying you have Reed Richards. You also have four. I mean, there's a lot. Reed Williams.
Got all the mutants coming in at some point soon.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Forge right there. Yeah. And Reed Richards from Fantastic Four. So there's a lot of people that can take Tony Stark's development and tech sort of role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And yeah, you just don't, as nice as it was to transfer it to the kid, you just don't need it in the MCU. And I think Sony sorely overextended what they thought they had. But we learned a little bit more. We confirmed that it is two films and that Disney will earn 25% and they will throw in 25% in order to get that. And Kevin Feige will be at the helm for both, at least creatively, for both films.
And to note, that is one Spider-Man film and one appearance for Spider-Man in an MCU movie.
Michelle, we also had another MCU story arise in the past week.
Yeah, that Infinity Saga box set. I think some of us thought it was going to be like around $300 or so. It's actually $550. I know it's 23 movies. I know there's some bonus stuff, but my goodness, my laptop costs less than that.
I'm wondering how many of these that are actually going to sell, because a lot of people have the digital copies. A lot of people have the previous copies on hard copies. So I don't know.
That's over $23 a movie. That's like new Blu-ray prices for some movies that have been out. Some of these for 13 years?
2008.
2008 is when the first... All right. So 11 years. Like, it's crazy. It's insane. I was actually thinking about getting these, like when they talked about it, before we knew what the price was going to be, because my sister, I've been slowly getting her the entire MCU, and I was like, oh, I'll just give her all my old ones. She'll have a set, and then I can have the shiny new set. But nah, fam.
Especially now that with Disney Plus coming, and they'll have all the movies on there. If you want to watch something, you can just pop that. And, oh, I didn't put it in the news, but I read that Disney is no longer allowing Netflix to advertise on ABC and the other networks, because now they see Disney Plus as a direct competition to Netflix.
That seems like a kind of thing that's going to get them sued. Like some sort of...
You can do that. You can do that because really? like cable companies don't allow other cable companies to advertise.
Or you do if you make a deal that's lucrative enough between the two, yeah.
I don't know. I think Disney's going to get some sort of antitrust violation thing because they've become so big and now they're keeping people off of other platforms. Like, you can't advertise on a television station because your digital streaming service competes with our digital streaming service. I mean, not under the current administration, but that administration might be changing before too long. So I could see potentially this becoming an issue.
That is interesting. In the fact that Disney Plus sees themselves as a competition to Netflix, I don't know if I would go that far, but in retrospect, I've been looking for stuff to watch. My first go-to is Netflix, because I do have a Netflix subscription. I go to Netflix, and most of the stuff that I want to watch is not there. Like, I was on a big Pitch Perfect kick this past week, because I'd never seen the movies, and I was like, okay, where can I get these movies? Turns out you can't get them on Netflix. Okay. Netflix's ability to be the clearinghouse for everything is gone. And I could see another big streaming service like Disney Plus thinking their competition for what Netflix is today. By the way, did you two get your Disney Plus free subscription for the 2 years for 3 years thing that they had going on? Or are you just going to get it when it comes out?
No. I assume I'm going to end up getting the bundle thing with Hulu, which will probably not be much more. And it gives me the option of canceling it when Disney inevitably makes me angry.
I've been waiting too. And one of the things is I still haven't decided on whether I'm going to get the bundle or not, because the bundle gives you the Hulu with commercials. And I think I might go with the Hulu without commercials. So I might do that. And I don't really need the ESPN Plus. I don't know if I'm going to bundle
it or
not.
I'll see what my options are when that actually happens.
But yeah, you can't get the bundle until the day that it rolls out, which I think is November 13th, if my memory is correct.
Are any of the new shows premiering when they launch the service, or is it just launching with the back catalog?
There's supposed to be some shows, The Mandalorian, The Jeff Goldblum Show. So they do have content that's coming out with it.
Okay.
I will be getting Disney Plus. I just don't know if it's going to be the bundle or if it's going to be on its own.
I wonder what comes with ESPN Plus, because if we can watch all the football, I'm trying to find a way. So my mom loves all the football. And one of the reasons why I haven't cut the cord is because my mom loves all the football. And if there's a way to where my mom can get all the football, because she likes to record, because she usually works on Sundays and she works on nights. So she would record all the football that she can and then watch all the football when she can't. So if there's a way that I can digitally record all the football and she can watch all the football, then...
But so much of the football is on, like, what is it, CBS? Do they have the football contract right
CBS
now?
CBS and Fox have the majority of the Sunday day games on the NFL, but then it goes to, I want to say...
NBC?
NBC for Sunday Night Football, and then ESPN has Monday Night Football, and I think CBS has Thursday Night Football, if I'm not watching a lot of football these days, but I think that's how it lays out.
But ESPN usually has a lot of the college football.
Not necessarily. So you have the specific networks like the ACC network, the Big Ten network, and all of those networks, and Fox regional networks that have the associated games. And then you have the big networks like ABC, which, okay, ESPN, but it's on.
Yes, this is complicated.
Over the air, yeah. So that's one of the problems with football these days. It's the same problem with Marvel, is that you had to go to all these different places to get all the Marvel content. You're having to go to all these places to get the football that you want. And let's not even get into hockey or basketball or baseball, because the fact that I couldn't watch the Minnesota Twins the past couple of games lose to the Yankees because it was on MLB Network only where I'm at, because I'm outside of the broadcast region of the Twin Cities, then... Yeah. Okay.
So that's been your sports discussion on this Marvel podcast.
Yeah. Well, it ties into, because Disney owns us all.
Well, we are all getting Disney Plus. It's just a matter of which version that we're going to get. We'll look forward to that.
They actually have released the Disney Plus Hulu bundle pricing.
Yeah. It's been known for a while.
Well, it's like 12, I didn't know.
I want to say it's $12.99.
Yeah.
But it's the Hulu with commercials.
I already get Hulu with commercials.
For what, $5.99?
Yeah.
And the Disney streaming service is $6.99?
I can't imagine they won't have an option where you can upgrade your bundle to not have ads.
I'm going to wait until I see it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to get Disney Plus. The question is whether I get... Because we are going to cover Cloak and Dagger and The Runaways when we're not covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., at least for now. So the question is, which version of Hulu do I get in order to see this? Or do I buy it episode per episode? And by the way, I said I was going to check into where to get Cloak and Dagger last week. Checked all around, and I did not get a Hulu subscription. I did buy the season, and my choices were Vudu, Apple, or Prime, and I went with Prime. It's because I think it's going to be around longer.
I think that's a good call.
But I couldn't find it free anywhere. I wasn't expecting to find it free, but just putting that to bed, where I found it and where I'm watching it. All right. Any other news that you ladies want to bring up?
Nope.
I think so.
All right. We're just going to dive into our trash bags and try to transport our way out of here. Thank you very much to our listeners that have stayed with us this whole time, that really enjoy the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the MCU content. We're also trying to bring you Legion content. We're going to eventually get around to the Netflix series, but right now we're going to concentrate on Runaways and Cloak and Dagger. So thank you very much for coming with us on this journey.
Yeah, thank you to everyone that's joining us as we explore beyond the ABC network and the Netflix shows into some of the Hulu goodness. And we'll see what else is out there by the time we finish the Hulu stuff.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I know a lot of you asked us to cover Cloak and Dagger. Please be like me. I do not want to spoil SP and Haley on this. I do want them. I know it's been out for a year and all that type of stuff, but please, when you call and chime in, try to be general about it. We really appreciate it. Just like I had to bite my tongue because I don't want to ruin it for them. I want them to figure things out, and I want to make sure that I bite my tongue. So please do the same. Thank you.
We certainly appreciate it. And with that, until next time, I am Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was not interrupted by any cats.
Darn.
Yet.
Mine's locked on the other side of the door.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Thought I'd get a little bit farther with my car than I did. I got all the surfaces cleaned finally. The gaskets, half the gaskets, I don't know what percentage of them are, but they're done via this caulk basically that you throw on there. It's called RTV, but it's high temperature caulk so that it can withstand the operating pressures and temperature of the engine. And once you separate two things that have the RTV on, if you're going to connect them back up again, you need to clean the surfaces. So the engine block that I have is aluminum, so you can't use like a steel wire brush or something like that. You can only use brass, which it's not, doesn't really stand up well to the abuse as you're trying to really scrub it off. You use a razor blade at an angle for flat surfaces, and then use the brush to get the rest of it off. And you can use degreaser. You can use acetone, but it's basically brake cleaner and it doesn't penetrate and it doesn't do much of anything. So a good degreaser works pretty good. Anyway, this all takes a lot of time. I mean, a lot of time, especially if you take all the engine apart and you're trying to slap it back together, which is basically what I did. I mean, I didn't take it completely apart, but I took it enough apart that there's a lot of surfaces that I had to clean because they're going to get remated back up. And that took most of the week. I was doing that up to today, actually. And so when I finally got to the valves, I redid the valves in cylinder 4. I was working back front. I redid the 4 valves in cylinder 4. That went fine. Cylinder 3, I did the intake valves, reconditioned them. So I'm not replacing cylinder 2 and 3. I'm completely replacing the valves in 1 and 4 and then reconditioning 2 and 3. The problem was the intake valves on 3 went fine. The exhaust valves were so bad that I could not recondition them. And I just finally gave up and I just ordered some more. So now I'm in the wait game for the valves to come again. They should arrive by Thursday. Last week did kind of the same thing and they arrived on Wednesday instead of Thursday. So that might give me an extra day. But in the meantime, I did 6 of the valves and I was just like, okay, that's it for me for today. For somebody that doesn't do this on a daily basis, it's just takes a while, and I probably don't have all the tools that might make it a little easier. I don't know, maybe the right solvents like acid or something like that, because I think if I dip the valves in acid that would hopefully recondition them to the point that I could use them again. Anyway, so I'm just, they're only $5. Oh, kitty. Is she a shoulder kitty?
Yeah.
Sweet.
She'll stay here first for a while.
Well, anyway, I just got 6 valves done and I was like, okay, that's enough for today. I'm going to move on for today. And just means that it's another week. It keeps on being another week and another week. I feel like I am Tom Hanks and Shelley Long in that house thing. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
You mean Money Pit? I thought that was Michael Keaton.
No, it was Tom Hanks.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up right now.
Thanks, because I'm preoccupied.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Tom Hanks. Clearly Tom Hanks.
Okay, cool.
Wow, I could actually see Michael Keaton in that role. That's a good call. I didn't realize that Henry Winkler had been fired from Turner and Hooch directing.
Really?
Yeah, he was on set for like 5 days, and apparently he and Tom Hanks have been feuding, quote unquote feuding, and I don't know if it's real or not ever since.
Huh.
So Tom Hanks does not get along with the Fonz. Like, who does not get along with the Fonz?
I know. Who doesn't get along with Tom Hanks? It's like the two nicest people in Hollywood don't get along with each other.
And every time Henry Winkler talks about it, he said, I got along with that dog just fine. He doesn't say anything about Tom. It's the dog. I got along. I love that dog. And okay. And the insinuation is Tom is the one that got him fired. So he comes onto the set the fifth day and he was told to go away.
No.
Apparently, that's the news story that I read over the weekend.
Oh, you can't go walk on the... Well, you can't walk on the car. You can't walk on the keyboard.
Who saw Joker this weekend?
I did.
Was it worth it?
It's really good, but you're only going to ever want to see it one time.
Okay.
I have no desire to see that movie.
That's fair.
My daughter saw it. And she said it was good, but she's into the darker comics anyway. She doesn't like it too dark.
It's real dark.
Well, I'm thinking she really likes Harley Quinn. I'm thinking that's why she...
But she's not in this.
Oh, she's not. I thought she was. No. All right. Then I will wait for home release. Hey, before we end the live broadcast, I just want to say thank you to American Liberty. I did not see your chat. We're using a different service to stream the YouTube video here, and I don't know if he was making comments on the YouTube side or in StreamYard, but he said, first of all, hello and happy drinking orange wine while texting in church Sunday. All right. And then also, I just want to point out that American Liberty said the best sports movie for love of the game. In the top five.
I love how we have this running thing now.
The best sports movie? Yeah. It's been a while since we did something like that. But yeah, all the movies that were mentioned, Rudy, Hoosiers, Miracle, For Love of the Game. What was the other one? League of Their Own? Yeah. Top five sports movies, in my opinion. For the Love of the Game, by the way, is like the perfect date movie because it's got guy components to it. It's got gal components to it. And I have two copies.
Oh my goodness. What's the ice skating movie?
Cutting Edge.
Yeah, with the guy who's the huggy.
Toe pick.
That's it. Thank you. I knew it was an edge thing in there.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2013 through 2019.